So let's get into the message for this morning. And like last week, we started like the intro into the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are something that a lot of people, especially Christians, you know, are aware of this word Beatitudes and what Beatitudes mean. But we're going to get into breaking down the Beatitudes over the next few weeks in this series because there's so much that's involved and contained in these just, well, what we look at as simple little sayings. But there's so much knowledge, so much wisdom, so much understanding that is in the Beatitudes. And I guess I want to start off by asking you a question right off. And you don't have to answer out loud. You can raise your hand. That's fine. Are you a person that likes mysteries? If you like mysteries, raise your hand. If you like mysteries, you like to watch a show, you know, read TVs. If you like just, you know, the potential of not knowing and just the anticipation of what the answer is. Put them back up. Okay, so we got a few in here. Okay. Now, with those of that didn't raise their hands, are you a person that just likes to understand how stuff works? Do you like to understand how stuff works? If you do, raise your hand. Okay? So you understand how stuff works. Now, encompassing the whole room with those two answers, I pretty much got everybody in here. But maybe you're a person that, well, I don't really care how stuff actually works. I just want it to work. I don't care how it works. I just want it to be there when I want to use it, right? And I think we all have a little bit of that inside of us, of understanding. It's like, I just want it to work. Technology. I just want it to work. You know? I don't necessarily care how it works. I just want it to be available when I want it to be available. You know, what happened with the derecho where the storm came, electricity went out, stuff didn't work. People were just going nuts because stuff didn't work, right? Well, that's for a different reason, but sometimes things break down. If your car breaks down, doesn't it annoy you just a little bit? Just a little bit? Somebody says, it annoys me this much, right? So I get annoyed, but we like having an idea of how things work or how things come together. In fact, there's a show I used to watch, How Things Are Made. You ever seen that? You know? I'm just understanding and having a knowledge of how stuff is actually manufactured or built or how things come together. In fact, I subscribe to, and this is not an endorsement of this, but I subscribe to the Curiosity Channel. Have you ever heard of it? Curiosity Channel is one that just like you can go in there and you can watch how things are made, how the universe comes together, how science happens, how physics happens, how other things, how history happened. It's just a general area to gain knowledge in many different ways. And I like to watch that because I like to go in there and see how the building blocks of the universe came together, of how it all came together. You know, science talks about the Big Bang, but we know for a fact that, you know, we're not talking about the Big Bang. We're talking about how God ordered the universe to come together, because science falls under God's preview. Science falls under God's preview. He caused all these things to happen and to come together, and the only way and the only person who could do that was God. We know this. We understand it. But I like to know, I like to gain the knowledge or have the true understanding of how these things happen, because it lends to a true understanding about life. To me, it's a true understanding about life in many different ways. I look at this part, God provided that. I look at this part, God provided that. So I look at the totality of how God ordered things to come together in life, in my life, in life general. I like having that knowledge. And when I think about it, I look into the Bible and I think about the information that's contained in the Bible about how life comes together, about the purpose of how life is supposed to come together and what it's supposed to be, to understanding everything and how it's supposed to work, how my life is supposed to work. I can look in the Bible, I can look in Scripture and see that. to gain the knowledge and the understanding and hopefully would lend itself to wisdom in my life. And I think about all the information that's in the Bible, and it's like, you know, we look at the papers in here, and it's like peeling back the mysteries that God has for us. Peeling back the mysteries that God has for us in our life so we can understand our purpose, God's purpose for us, to worship Him and to have faith in Him. This is why I like mysteries. Maybe you don't like mysteries for this particular reason, but you know what? It lends itself to the same thing. If you want to know how stuff works, look in here. If you want to have mysteries revealed to you, look in here. This is the best novel, the best book, the best dictionary, the best encyclopedia, the best anything that you'll ever see in your life is right here. Your life, your purpose for your life will be revealed to you when you pick this up and you peel back the layers. You know, Jess has a favorite thing. She likes to talk about how onion, you peel back onions. Now, I don't like that analogy because onions just make me cry. Right? But I think about fruit. I think about like an orange, peeling back an orange. That's nice. That's better. It's juicy. It's sweet. Right? It's kind of the same thing. It doesn't make me cry. But if we peel back the layers on things. And inside here, and especially the series that we're getting into, the Beatitudes, Jesus is revealing in the Beatitudes the workings of faith and how it all comes together. Did you know that? That in the Beatitudes, you look in there and you see that Jesus is revealing you the works of faith and how it all comes together. And it's an amazing journey that you can take with there. Where the Beatitudes, and especially the ones we're talking about right now, the Beatitudes contain some of the most significant teachings in the Bible. Last week in the introduction, we talked about how the Beatitudes were actually the keys to heaven. The Beatitudes are the keys to heaven. That if you can figure out the Beatitudes, that you can live and have the Beatitudes in your life, you then receive heaven. That is an amazing thing. Talk about peeling back the layers to understand that. The rewards that you get from knowing and living like that, the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes do come in layers. They come in layers of understanding, but they also come in layers of writing. We talked about how the Beatitudes have two specific parts to it. You have the beginning part and you have the end part. You have the part that if you receive this in the beginning, you then receive this at the end. Of having those two things, they come in layers. You experience the first layer and then you receive the second layer. All the Beatitudes contain this structure. There's not one of them you look at that's not written in that way. It contains so much. And I want to start looking at the Beatitudes. Now, the Beatitudes in the Bible are found in two Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. Matthew has the, well, what we call it, the expanded version of the Beatitudes, where it contains a lot more of the Beatitudes in total in writing. Whereas Luke, well, Luke wrote his to a different audience, and he explained some different things in there. But when we take and we put both of them together, and we look at the Beatitudes from both Gospels, we get a greater understanding of what Jesus is saying. But right now, I want to look in the book of Matthew. So if you have your Bibles with you, have your apps with you, have something with you, let's turn to the book of Matthew in chapter 5, where Jesus is giving and talking about the Beatitudes, chapter 5. And it's right in the beginning at verse 3. So if you're there, I'll give you a few moments to get in there. This is what it says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's the two parts. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's the first part. Second part is, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We look at those words and we think there, and we focus on blessed. We talk about what blessed is, right? about being happy, happy in our things. But we actually talked about how this word blessed is something more that Jesus is talking about. It's talking about having happiness to the utmost, or the utmost bliss. It's not a regular happy, I'm happy, I got a pizza today. No, it's like well beyond that. It's about being blessed, about being the utmost happy. And he's talking about being the utmost happy are the poor in spirit. Now we look at the word and we think about poor. It's like, how can we be happy in that? About being poor. We think about the word poor and we think of poverty. We think about going without. If we look in the dictionary, that's what, you know, that's the explanation of it in the dictionary, right? Without going without, or having poverty, being poor. It's getting along without possessions. It's getting along without physical wealth. It's talking about earthly lives when we're thinking that. We're taking our lives here on earth and we're applying that word to it of being poor. But Jesus adds a specific word in here which changes the meaning of all of that. Because he tags on the word spirit. Poor in spirit. And we look at that, okay, I don't understand that either. Being poor in spirit. Now we have to look at the word spirit because we have to really understand the fact that spirit has a small s on it, right? We're not talking about Holy Spirit here because, well, that one gets a capital S. This one has a small s. So it's talking about spirit in a different way. It's talking about actually the spirit inside of us and what we contain inside of us to be poor in spirit, our spirit. And the confusion is understandable sometimes when we think about being poor in spirit, because we can go throughout Scripture and we can look at, well, why are we supposed to be poor in spirit? Doesn't the rest of Scripture say that we're supposed to be rich in spirit, to seek spiritual richness? And yes, we are. We can go in the other areas of the Bible, especially in the book of Matt, where we can look at that we're actually supposed to store up treasures. Being rich in spirit, right? Matthew chapter 6, verse 20 says, to store up yourselves treasures in heaven, right? Where moths and vermin do not destroy, but where thieves do not break in and steal. We're supposed to store up these. But then he went on also to say, for where your heart, your treasure is, your heart will also be. Storing up treasures of spiritual riches. And you're supposed to store them up and have those be part of your life. So that makes this thing is kind of like confusing to understand. Well, what is he talking about? And it's understandable. It really is. But what Jesus is actually talking about, he's talking about being aware of our spiritual condition, of where our spirit is at. Talks about, we're trying to explain, I should say, the fact that we need to know our sin and spiritual poverty. See, we're already spiritually poor in a way. We are spiritually poor. We don't have the spirit that we think we do. We might delude ourselves sometimes into thinking that our spirit is great and everything is going well, but if you're thinking about your spirit, you need to do a spirit check. Because our spirit is not what we think it is. And this is what Jesus is alluding to about how we need to look at our spiritual condition, recognizing our spiritual condition so that we know where we're at in life. We need to recognize the emptiness that we carry along with us. Yes, we need to strive to be rich in spirit, but this is a spirit which is obtained from God. Not from ourselves. That's the spirit that Jesus is talking about. He says, be poor in your spirit. Be poor in your spirit. Know the condition of your spirit. Know that your spirit is not enough. Know and be readily available to receive a spirit which will change your life, Well, which will make it much more than what you could have otherwise. We need to strive to have that. We need to understand that we have the inability to get there by ourselves. We like to think that we're strong and that we have our life under control and everything is going exactly how we planned, but that's living in a delusional time. Because let me ask you a question here. You don't have to answer out loud because I already know the answer. Is your life going exactly the way you planned? I would assume it's kind of going like mine. Some days are just off the rail. Things that I planned just don't happen. That's what happens in life. We need to understand that we don't have all of it, that our spirit is not going to carry us through. We need to understand that we need to have Jesus to accomplish the richness which has been set aside, set up, and Jesus is talking about. But oftentimes we interfere with God's plans because we put our own plans in there. Right? There's another place in the Bible which really lends itself well to this imagining of what I'm saying. And it talks about how we're not supposed to serve two masters. Do you remember what he said there about not serving two masters? It's still in the book of Matthew in chapter 6. In verse 24, where he's talking about how we're not supposed to, no one can serve two masters, right? Either you're going to hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You ever seen this anywhere in your life, in somebody else's life? You can have these people that have everything, and they're just miserable. They have so much, and they still are just miserable. Now this one says in here, you cannot serve both God and money. And that's what Jesus is expounding upon here in this fact when he's talking about money in this one. And if you look at the Beatitudes in the Gospel of Luke, you'll see that Luke actually addresses some of this. And that's what gives us a greater understanding of the Beatitudes between the two Gospels. Because Luke actually says, come out, but woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, God did not say you couldn't have both. He just said you couldn't serve both. Big difference. But what happens so many times is that when we have more of something, we become very dependent on that one thing we have. We become self-satisfied with maybe the money that we make, the possessions that we have, or whatever greatness that is in our lives that starts ending up replacing God, so where, again, we're self-satisfied and not God-satisfied. We start devoting ourselves to the one thing that's been given to us and supplied to us. We start leaning on that for strength. Instead of devoting ourselves to God, we devote ourselves to that one thing. And that's where Luke is starting to talk about the woes of fooling ourselves into believing that we are rich. You know, a lot of times when we get those things in life, we believe we got the tiger by the tail, as the saying goes, right? That we've got life all under control. And the next thing you know, we turn around and things are just spinning out of control. You don't know which way is forward. And life seems to happen that way, especially when we think we have everything under control. When we think we are so rich that we don't need anything else or anyone else. Jesus is saying to us that we need to look at God and realize that we cannot serve both God and ourselves. That's actually what he's really saying about here. We can take the word money up there where we looked at that and says, you can't love both God and money, but I would almost insert in there instead of money, yourself. You cannot love both God and yourself. You cannot devote yourself to God and yourself. Now, let me make a little clarification here because I don't want you guys getting confused in this part. I'm not saying you don't have love for yourself. I'm not saying that you let your life go, that you cannot love yourself. You cannot, that you're not supposed to have good self-esteem. You are, but that self-esteem, that love comes from God and not yourself. That is the misconception so many people walk around the world with, saying, I have self-love. Well, that's great. Let me know how that goes for you and how long that lasts for you. Because I have the love of Jesus and that lasts forever. This is what Jesus is talking about when he says you must be poor in spirit. He says you must come to me like your children come to you. For you parents in here, don't your children rely upon you for just about everything? I mean, the older they get, the more and more independent they get. But even adult children sometimes call you up on the phone and say, hey, mom and dad, you know, I need a little wisdom. I need a little help. That's what Jesus talks about. He says, let them come to me as children. He says to us, he says, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Think about that for a second. Unless you change and come to me as little children, like your children come to you, parents, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's an eye opener. It wakes me up. Gives me a moment of pause to look at my life and go, wow. I sure hope I'm coming to Jesus like a little child. That I'm relying upon Him for everything in my life. We must admit our spiritual poverty. We must admit how empty we are before we can receive the riches that Jesus has in store for us. Because our spiritual blessings come from Jesus. Every spiritual blessing that you receive comes from Jesus. When Paul was writing his letter to the church in Ephesus, he told them this. He told them straight out that all your riches come from the realm of heaven and God. Every spiritual blessing in Christ comes from the heavenly realms. Comes from nowhere else. And it's hard sometimes for us to understand what that really means. But when we do, when you receive or you figure out the first part, then you get to experience the latter part of the Beatitude. The poor in spirit leads to the kingdom of heaven. When you get the poor in spirit and you've got that and you don't think that you're so strong that you don't need God and we rely upon God, God says, I give this to you. You now receive the kingdom of heaven. I love how Jesus puts this all together because actually when you look at the root word of heaven and how Jesus explained things, it's not really heaven. He says you receive the kingdom of skies. Skies. Now, to us, that doesn't mean a whole lot, but to the Hebrews back then, it means quite a bit more. It means something so much different. We have the ability to get on an airplane and fly in the sky. We have that ability, right? Maybe you haven't been on an airplane because, well, you're afraid of flying or you just haven't had the opportunity. But you have the availability to do that. We also have the ability to get on a rocket and go into the stars. Now, I don't ever look at myself as being able to do that at any point in time. But the ability to do it is there. But for the Hebrews, to fly like a bird was something that was just amazing to them, let alone go into outer space, to set foot on the moon, to see the earth as a tiny little blue marble. It was something so amazing to them. And that's why Jesus is actually pointing out to them the what he's talking about, the kingdom of heaven. It's a kingdom of skies. But he didn't stop there. You see, he explained to them that the kingdom of heaven goes way beyond that, into something so much greater than just going up into the sky or going into the stars. He said, you will go into the kingdom of heaven, the realm of God. And this realm of God will be available to you. Many times that we look at some sayings of Paul and we examine those, even sayings of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul even talked about going into the third realm of heaven, didn't he? He talked about how he was a man that went into that third realm of heaven. And he says, you know, 14 years ago that this happened. Now, I don't know if it's Paul that I did it to, but I read it kind of that way. That Paul went into that area of realm of God, the realm of God, and he experienced some things there that he couldn't bring back. But this is the expounding idea that Jesus is bringing to everybody. So you might have the sky available to you. You might have outer space available to you. But when you are poor in spirit and you receive the Spirit of God, this third realm is made available to you that you can receive no other way. The realm of God, the kingdom of heaven, and what is provided there. And when that happens, Jesus promises that kingdom of heaven. He's referring to, and he's talking straight out to you and I, all of us, says, when you receive this one, the poor in spirit, you then receive your salvation. That's your salvation. The kingdom of heaven is your salvation. For you to be poor in spirit, you have to pretty much give your life to God to realize that, to get the spiritual riches that only Jesus can give you. And when you do that, and when you believe in Jesus, when you confess, when you know in your heart that Jesus is Lord and Savior, what happens? You're saved. You receive your salvation. This is part of that Beatitudes and peeling back what the Beatitudes are actually saying to us and how we need to understand them. He's saying when that happens, we receive our salvation, but we see the inability of us being able to save ourselves, that we're powerless to overcome the sin within inside of us. But when that happens, we then receive the promise. And this is the promise that he's giving. But there's something that I want you to understand about this promise of what you're receiving, this kingdom of heaven. This kingdom of heaven is both now and the future. You receive the kingdom of heaven now if you're living inside of that. You receive eternity with God in death, but you also receive an eternal quality of life with God now. So as we come into and we understand being poor in spirit, we can't just think of it as something that we receive well into the future whenever it happens. Because Jesus says, I'm going to give it to you now. I'm going to give it to you now that you can live with me right now. And then you get to live physically with me later on. I love the Beatitudes. I love how the Beatitudes are put together. And when we look at that in the poor in spirit, it's like a fullness of knowing we are tethered to the only one who can save us. So now I'm going to do something a little different, and I don't want anybody to get mad at me. But I decided to take and rewrite this Beatitude I didn't change the foundation of it. I just changed some of the words. But I wanted to say it in such a way that it hopefully will make sense based upon what we talked about this morning, what you've been listening to. And I rewrote it like this. It says, blessed are we when we recognize our reliance upon Jesus as our Lord and Savior. When we realize we are spiritually poor without Him. When we let go of our self-reliance and trust in Jesus. Then our faith will lead us to a reward of being with God in His heavenly realm, where we will live with Him forever. Again, my words, but I think the meaning of Jesus put into it is in there. And as we get ready to close up for today and to go about our week, I want you to take a look at the way God, the way Jesus is spelling out the Beatitudes. Sometimes we understand a lot of things on the surface, but sometimes they can be confusing. But when we look, when we meditate, when we study, when we pray, God reveals, the Holy Spirit peels back the layers and layers on top so we can truly understand what Jesus is saying to us. This is a time for us to look at ourselves, truthfully, honestly looking at ourselves and saying, am I poor in spirit? Am I relying too much upon myself? Or am I relying upon God? It's a reflective time. But if you find or see yourself that maybe you're being too much self-reliant, you still have time. We have time to be with Jesus. We have time to look at Jesus and say, Jesus, I give all of my life to you. I know that I don't have the capability of being spirit-filled like you can fill me. So I want to ask you, if you're able, just stand up. And as the music team goes into the last music number, I want you to just take time and think about your spirit. Think about what Jesus is calling you to do. Think about if Jesus is calling you, why He's calling you, and what we need to do to receive more of the Spirit of Jesus.